B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's a noontime hour here on Zolak and Bertrand. Hardy in for Zoe this week. Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe is with us. Hardy is in for Zoe because Zoe is in Israel this week, Dan. I'm not sure if you knew that.
He was telling me about the trip. It's exciting for him.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yep. He's there to back up Drew.
I like that. Yeah, I heard you go. That was funny.
He's there to back up for him. In case anything
carry around
wrong.
Extra film for the camera.
Yeah, yeah. In case, you know, in case Drew wants to take a dinner off or something or to sit out a sightseeing trip, you know, Zoe steps in and does it for him.
Yeah. Like catches that. A stomach.
Hey, champ, I'm going to sit this meal out. You go.
You know? Catches a stomach bug. I'll go on this tour.
Yeah. Yeah.
You stay home.
There's the picture if you're watching on our simulcast. We have a photo of... Oh, wow. Everyone that's on the trip, courtesy of the Patriots on Twitter and Instagram. They put that photograph up. That was on the plane that they took, which is one of the nicest private jets in the world. Las Vegas Sands Group, Sheldon Adelson's plane. That thing is sweet.
Oh, that is nice.
Yeah, they took that over. Oh, I haven't seen this one. Getting some real touristy photos now.
Can you imagine like all the pop chips they have on that plane? Like... Because you go through the bag quick.
Right.
Because you're so hungry. And then like 5 minutes later, you want more? Like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
I'll have some of that biscotti too.
Yeah, don't mind if I do.
Yeah.
I think Zoe kept his shoes on.
Can I have the can? Do you mind if I have the can? I
hope he kept his shoes on. The cabin.
Oh, you're so right. I hope he bought a new pair.
If he knows enough to do it there, why won't he do it here? That's the question. Because he doesn't care.
Well, I don't know that he does know enough to do it there. Is the question.
I think we can assume really? He kept his shoes on the airplane.
Think of the guys who have to clean detail the plane afterwards with those, you know, all the crumbs and the creases of the furniture and seats and all that. You know, so it was a crumb fest. There's a lot of residue when he eats.
He leaves a lot of traces.
He does.
He'd be a terrible camper, you know? Yeah. You're supposed to leave no traces.
And a bad criminal. You know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know. Clues everywhere.
Oh, everywhere. Trail.
Crumbs, salad
Reese's
dressing.
Pieces lead to the scene.
Hansel and Gretel.
Flakes of foot skin everywhere. He's having a good time.
Yeah. 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 So we'll have Zoe back with us next week. 617-779-0985. John is in Brockton. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. John C, big fan of your work. Love your articles.
Thanks, John.
So about the Terry Rozier thing. So I don't know if you guys feel the same way, but you know, Terry Rozier, we weren't even projected after Kyrie went down and then Gordon Hayward went down. I remember we dropped from +300 on the Vegas lines to win the finals. We dropped all the way to 2100 and we had like the Knicks were in front of us to win. And no one expected us to get out of the first round of the playoffs. And nothing was expected of us to even get past that. And, you know, Terry Rozier really did step up. And so did Marcus Morris. And so did, you know, Jason Tatum. But the big thing was the scary Terry, because he really did lead that team. And for me, after taking the team past what they were expected to do, almost sweeping the 76ers, and getting all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals, and then like losing by just a smidge pretty much, and then literally just being pushed aside and said, you know what, you can sit down because we have Kyrie Irving. I personally would be pissed because I personally think that he deserved to stop the season, run the season, and have Kyrie prove himself. Kyrie, yeah, he's Kyrie, but Terry proved himself time and time after time.
And there's no team in the NBA that would have done that. Not a single one. Not a single coach, not a single team. There just isn't. There's not a single team in the league that would have done that. Started Terry Rozier over Kyrie Irving. You're living in a fantasy world. And so is Terry Rozier. That doesn't exist. That's not reality. That is a total detachment from reality to think that that would be acceptable or was going to happen. Come on. So you can be mad all you want, but to still be pissed about it 6 months later like he was. Yeah. And to go out the way that he did at the end of the season.
And then, I mean, to go out and maybe not in the way the season turned out or in the way that the, I guess the team chemistry unfolded, but to go out and watch Kyrie Irving and the way he played when he came back, I mean, there's your evidence right there. I mean, no one's going to question who the better player is in that situation.
Terry Rozier is.
Well, Terry Rozier was still questioning it. It's like, all right, well, I didn't have the chance to start, and that's wrong after what I did in the playoffs. But after a couple of months of watching Kyrie Irving, don't you get it now? I mean, you're sitting there. You've got a front row seat to what this guy is and what he can do on the basketball court. And no offense, you can't do that. Most people cannot.
Marley Rivera has this from ESPN. ESPN has learned that David Ortiz has been able to eat soft foods. Has been also in touch with loved ones, including former teammates, over the phone this week. His visits right now still limited to close family and friends, Dan. Marley Rivera.
Nice. She's a good reporter.
Yeah.
And are they a family friend as well?
Soft foods. He's on to soft foods.
What would be the first soft food you would request?
What's considered a soft food?
Ice cream.
Can that just be any food that's like ground up and is then soft? Or is that category
any
of food?
Any soft food. Go ahead.
Like applesauce? Or like something a little bit more than that?
Any soft food is acceptable. If the first thing you want to have...
Glazed donut considered a soft food?
That doesn't feel like a soft food.
It's not a soft food.
Got to go yogurt, right?
No. I would like some mashed potatoes, please.
I would prefer...
like some starch.
Yeah, I would prefer the applesauce or the yogurt over the mashed potatoes.
It's the first food you've been able to ingest in a couple of weeks. You want yogurt? You want applesauce?
I like both of those things.
Oh,
I like mashed potatoes, too.
Which do you like better?
Ice cream, Lieutenant Dan.
Dan would see? That's a good answer. Thank you, Dan.
I feel like
ice cream.
You know what, though? I feel like yogurt or ice cream are not great. You know, dairy, that could be tough. And you just had all your insides put back together. Mm-hmm. You know, you might want to stay away from that.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll have some advice about that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
MGH, smart people there.
Yeah,
all the more reason to go with mashed
potatoes.
They
know what they're talking about. Dan, you still all piping hot about the World Cup there, Women's World Cup?
Well, I
faced a lot of backlash on that this week.
Oh, my God. Well, here's the thing. When you write a column like about the Women's World
Cup. Save it. This is next.
That's what we do. We tease.
First, our introduction.
Zolak Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continue. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Dan had a column. Last week, Dan Shaughnessy, the Boston Globe, with us on Zolak and Bertrand. Hardy in for Zoe. Dan had a column about the Women's World Cup and the U.S. team winning 13-0 and celebrating their goals. You're upset about this, Dan. You're upset about this win.
Well, it's been a while now, but yeah, I mean, the game was their first game. It was a week ago.
Yep.
I think it was on Tuesday, and I knew they were playing Sunday, and I was kind of busy with the Stanley Cup final, which... as we know, it lasted until Wednesday night here. And once that was over, I wanted to go back to the Thailand game and the celebrations and the nonsense that I'm not a fan of. It's just, it's not fair play. It's not sportsmanship. It's just, it's horse bleep in my view. And there was no need to score that many goals or to celebrate them in the manner in which they did. So I wrote a column to that effect for the Sunday paper, which was in advance of them playing game two against Chile on Sunday. And, you know, in the column, I know exactly what the pushback's going to be, so I address all those things right away that, you know, they're listed there in italics a little bit down. You know, you want to just read them off? Here's
if you don't like it when we score so much, shut up and figure out how to stop us.
That's the Zoe theory, you know, just grow a pair.
Thailand didn't want us to pull back. That would be insulting and patronizing.
Yep.
This is the World Cup, not your six-year-old soccer in Newton. You're probably one of the liberal parents who want everyone to get a trophy.
Liberal.
Goal count matters when you're trying to get out of a World Cup bracket. Why stop scoring when you might need those goals later? America first, baby. Whose side are you on? If you don't like it, tough. You only care about soccer once every 4 years. And, of course, the ever handy, you wouldn't say that if it were a men's team.
So I wrote all this, and I addressed those things below that, but knowing that people will see the headline and
you tried to put those in the story.
They're all addressed.
Head them off.
Right.
Okay.
But it doesn't matter because no one reads the story. They just say, oh, don't you know the goal count matters in this thing? Yeah. Or you only, every 4 years you weigh in on the World Cup, or you wouldn't write this about men. And it's just... It's a struggle. What can I say? But anyway, there was some support for it, like a good column. It was half for, half against. The team went out. My fellow American women went out and had a dignified victory over Chile on Sunday, because the goalkeeper was so good for Chile, and I did watch.
Yep.
And on we go. So anyway, that was the thrust of it. But this notion, Beetle, like, you know this. I am not a fan of
over-celebrating.
It has nothing to do with women.
But it's not about the over-celebrating with you. It's twofold. It's the celebrating and the fact that you want them to score less. You think that they're scoring too much.
Well, in that game, there was no need to do that.
Your constant UConn women's basketball, this is one of your things when they blow people out by like 70 points.
Right. I was not a fan of the Dream Team beating Angola by 80.
Dream Team in the Olympics.
I don't like Nick Saban running it up 59-0 to press the pollsters.
You hate Alabama football. You hate
Zoe and Ivan back and forth.
Men's Olympic basketball team. You hate all
all the stuff. I don't like the Red Sox outfielders celebrating when they beat the Orioles. Wee! You know, I don't like 300 strikeouts for Chris Sale. Oh, yeah, we showed those guys, you know. And I'm just not about it. It has nothing to do with women or men. There is more of this in women's sports because you don't have as many commensurate programs. You know, there's more disparity in general in women's college basketball,
sure,
women's World Cup. You're just more, there aren't 24 teams that can play with the U.S. in the Women's World Cup. It's just, you know, we have like this program. We have like, it's amazing. And they're great. They've won 3 World Cups. They're on a revenge tour because they got bumped by in the Rio Olympics 3 years ago. Blah, blah, blah. We get all that. But this was it wasn't a good look. In my view, it's bad karma. That stuff comes around. Don't do that.
I don't care about the karma aspect of it. I don't even care about the goals. If you can score 13, hang them. You know, absolutely. Hang those 13 goals. And whether the goal differential is a real argument.
It's not.
To that degree, I think once you get to about 10, it's probably not really going to factor in anymore. The problem that I had with it is the celebration afterward.
It's like obnoxious.
It was completely obnoxious, right? And to act like at that point you've actually accomplished anything by scoring a goals 11, 12, and 13 and having your choreographed celebration afterward, to me, that's just bush league. That's just that is behaving as though you are somehow still achieving something by beating up on this team, which apparently was not equal to the task. And to say that, oh, you're only saying this because they're women. If they were men, do you listen to any sports talk? Do you read any critical pieces or opinions about men's sports? They would be absolutely vilified for doing that. People get on male athletes for much less and infractions of a much lesser degree than that.
Pimping home runs and blowout games.
Yeah, this were about like really going after the women, then people would do just a slightly deeper dive. There's all kinds of things you could go after this women's team about and talk about them. It's like if you really wanted to be mean and go after them, you might be one of these people mentioning their loss to the FC Dallas under 15 boys team a couple of years ago. Like, oh, these are world-class athletes. They deserve to be treated as such. You got a loss to children, you know? No one's saying that. It's a different sport. No one's going to go there and really, they're saying like, they didn't like the look on the field of you guys celebrating goals 10, 11, 12, and 13 against a much lesser opponent, which, by the way, how good were these Thai women? Apparently not all that good. Like, they were a much less level of competition than you would expect in a World Cup match. So just act like you've been there. Have just a tiny bit of class. Score 15 goals. Score 20 goals. But people were very quick to post some other videos of other teams that scored a bunch of goals against lesser opponents. And some of these other women did not celebrate to the obnoxious level that the U.S. women did. And I think that's what people would have had more respect for. Oh, okay, we just scored again. Now let's go back to center, and let's go back there, and let's continue this game. And we'll score as many goals as we can, and we're going to use this to our advantage in terms of working out some, either some set pieces or some formations or doing it, whatever we want to do in this game. But stop celebrating. There's nothing to celebrate at that point.
Thank you, Hardy. I wish Zoe had been here. What do you think Zoe would have said?
He would have said something to the effect of, actually, I think he would agree. The thing that he would take most issue with is anyone saying they should stop scoring. trying to score at 9 or 10.
I understand.
Keep scoring. Like,
you're a professional athlete. Okay. Keep scoring. You don't stop scoring. You don't slow down ever.
Well, I did talk to my soccer people.
That's your
on this.
Job. You just keep doing your job. That part I disagree with you with. The celebration you control. Like, that has nothing to do with the actual job itself. Mm-hmm. I can see your point on that. Here's my takeaway. When I saw this happen, my thought was not related to the celebrations or related to the fact that it was 13-0, because in terms of running up the score in sports, I don't even like to use the phrase running up the score, because I just view that as a beatdown, and I'm always in favor of that. If you can beat the living pulp out of your opponent, you do it. That's what you're here for. You just do it. That's just part of sports. If it happens, it happens. So be it. So I looked at this and thought, wow, your sport's really not all that competitive, huh?
Right.
Like, this doesn't happen on the other side. I mean, I even look back. I'm like, this doesn't happen. And I know it's the round of 32. Right. I know that, it's early. So it's not. This won't happen later in the tournament.
Beetle.
But I went back and looked through the men's side in the round of 32, going back a few years. And the widest disparity you see some goals where you see some disparities where it's a 5-1 game or sometimes even a 6-0 game. You go back to 2010, there was a 7-0 game in there that it happened in. But like 13-0, that just doesn't happen.
Beetle, can I say something?
Like, that reflects, I think that score reflects poorly on the sport.
Well, yeah, there's not 24 world teams, to be in this tournament.
I would lower the amount of teams.
Make it 12.
I'd lower the amount of teams in the thing.
They just made it bigger this year, and they're not ready for it.
Yeah, it's not a good look.
That's okay.
It's not a good look for the sport.
This tells you the level of, and again, you expect pushback. You would like it to be informed, or at least people who read the column before coming back. So, it is a ton of this stuff. Of course, it's Twitter. But this one that particularly amused me was, someone tweets a thing. It's almost like Dan Shaughnessy has some sort of issue with women, and then goes to examples of where I have advocated, piling on when it's men. Like, I've been in favor of it, and one of those examples that's used to make this case is regarding a Patriot 38-3 game. Where I write, great to see Tom dropping back to pass on all those plays. Hope he comes back again in the final minute for more. Bill's still ready to beat these guys.
Oh, no, they don't know. Well, yeah. They don't understand your sarcasm.
Like, the level of...
No, you absolutely despise that, actually.
Yeah, and it's like, it starts off, tremendous stat padding drive by Pats makes it 38-3 with 3:26 left. Great to see Tom dropping back to pass on all those plays.
No, they don't.
And this is used to demonstrate that I have a problem with women because I like it when men do it.
No.
I'm liking it.
That's no. Dan Shaughnessy taking a big heaping dump all over the Patriots.
Right. And blow your own brains out.
Well, yeah. And I got angry when I read some of the columns. I'm like, the criticism of the U.S. women's soccer team is pure sexism.
Oh.
Like, what?
No, it isn't.
So that is... Like such an offense, right? To women and men or whoever who experience real sexism, right? Who are unjustly criticized for nothing more than gender, right? And that is just such a harebrained shortcut to thinking to automatically turn this around and say you're being sexist right now. Oh, so Wouldn't it be more sexist to not be critical of someone because they're a woman? To me, that's sexism. That's treating them unequally. I'm not going to say anything because they're a woman. Is that what you want? I don't think that's what you want either.
Headlines, and then we'll jump to some calls, and Dan's date's at 12:50.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter, at Zoe and Bertrand.
One of our regular emailers, Neil, says, at what point in the fourth quarter should Brady and the Patriots stop scoring? At the 10-minute mark? How about the Red Sox? If they're up by 5, 10, should we put in a mercy rule like Little League? These are all questions for Dan Shaughnessy, because my answer to all of those is never. Never stop scoring. Never stop putting points on the board.
Okay.
Never. I have no issue with that. No issue with winning 13-0.
It's a disingenuous...
How you handle yourself when you do it...
It's a disingenuous defense of what the U.S. women's team did.
Well, I'm not defending the, like, celebrations. You're up 12-0 and you're right. Acting... And I didn't see it. I will admit, I didn't see all of it. I didn't see the... I just heard about it, read about it.
It's obnoxious.
I didn't see them all. So apparently it was obnoxious. But, like, if you're acting obnoxious just up 12-0, then you're a jackass.
Just like most touchdown celebrations are obnoxious.
Yeah.
Just like any player celebrating a sack at midfield in a game where you're actually trailing by 14 points is obnoxious.
But you don't have to stop playing the game.
No.
Keep playing the game. But if you score the touchdown, you're already up 35-0. Score the touchdown, hand the ball to the ref, and go back to the sideline.
Which is what...
That's what I said.
Another emailer said, if goal differential matters that much... Why not just get the ball out of the back of the net and get it back to midfield and go score another one?
Yeah, that's how I feel. Keep scoring. Keep doing it.
Why are you taking time to celebrate with your, with your choreographed nonsense?
Right, yes. Take that.
Yes, yes. Thanks, totally. Let's get to some of your calls.
And the last thing, B.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is the last thing.
There's never the last thing.
If the U.S. women do get bounced in one of these later rounds and don't make it to the Gold Cup match... Instead of having a nation rally behind them and saying, that's too bad, great effort, now there's going to be a large segment that say, what Dan did, karma. That's karma coming back to bite you in the ass, and you got what you deserve.
I didn't even know this. We got another email from Tom. He said, Game 2 of the Women's World Cup is sneaky more disrespectful than Game 1. USA sat 7 of 10 position players, including their stars, Morgan, Rapinoe, etc. I mean, come on, they lined up the B squad in the World Cup. Who does that?
Well, they were playing Chile, and she wanted to rotate everybody in there before they played Sweden. I mean, it was a calculated. They knew there was no chance of losing.
So they built up the goals to, tack on all the goals, and then
play
the B squad.
And also, their
goal. He said, disrespect at its finest, sneaky, and they knew it.
Their goal celebrations in that match.
The golf clap.
Where, yeah, they did the golf clap, or they just did very, subtle high fives as a means of controlling everybody.
Good to know they're not sensitive about the criticism.
Yeah, is this better for...
Is this ladylike?
You know what would be better? Once you've got the game in hand, just keep playing and stop behaving like asses. That would be better. That'd be easier to root on. It's tough to root for that.
Celtics and their fans, Terry Rozier, Celtics roster. Comment for Dan on Ortiz. Women's World Cup, and Hardy is a sexist. Dan, I'm going to let you choose.
Oh, please. Like Hardy is a sexist.
Thank you. Good.
Mo and Quincy. Mo.
Go ahead.
I just want to say that I think you're a sexist. Women don't get equal pay. You don't have any women on your show right now or any of your shows during the day. Thatcher and Rich, Felger and Maz, your show, and whatever. Why don't you have a woman on your set?
Yeah. I don't know of any women who have applied to even work here in an on-air position.
Well, why don't you try to reach out to somebody?
I'm sure they have. It's not my job to hire people here.
What does it have to do with what's being discussed?
What
does that have to do with what Hardy talked about, though?
And for the record, I think women across all sports, whether it's in soccer or golf or anything, deserve equal pay. I think it comes down to an economics issue in terms of what those events generate in terms of revenue and what they are, according to the bottom line, what they are able to pay them when it comes to prize money and things of that nature. But for Olympic athletes, no, they should all make the same. for instances like this. If they're generating revenue through attendance and through television ratings, they should all make the same. Absolutely. I don't know anybody who would argue against that.
Yeah, but the fact is that they don't make the same.
No, and that's why there were protests. That's why a lot of the Olympic athletes refused to train, and they said that we're not doing this anymore. I know a woman who actually trained with the U.S. hockey team.
I thought that call was going to be so much better than it
was.
Well,
again, this is
what
not
a disappointment.
Who had to tap out of it?
Is
said,
not about gender.
No, and that's the whole point. They want to make this a sexist argument or somehow an anti-feminist critique of the team. When I'm saying. Anybody who behaved like that would be criticized for it.
The pushback is always, you wouldn't say that about men, Hardy.
Yeah, I absolutely would. That's what we sit here and do most of the time. We criticize male athletes.
4 hours a day.
Right.
Very rarely do we cross over to the women's side. Very rarely. And here we are. Thanks to Dan Shaughnessy.
Well, thank you.
Must be him. Oh. Paulie, what do you got?
Hey, boys.
Paulie.
Hey, sorry about that. I put my French fries down and take the call.
There you go.
Yeah. Danny, I'll come talk to you. I know you and Cortese have had some conflicts, some friction in the past. I feel bad for the guy that he gets shot.
Of course.
But I was never a big fan. To me, he always walked around like he thought he was bad balls. Always a scowl on his face. You know, was it some sort of an attitude? I just don't like the way he carried himself. I don't like what he said when he took the mic in front of the city, the way he said it. This is our bleeping city, man. No,
we found the guy.
You're the only one.
The guy in Boston who didn't like what David Ortiz said when he said, this is our bleeping city. We found a guy.
Yeah, even the
there he is.
The chairman of the FCC liked it.
Paulie and Dedham.
Yeah.
Paulie in the truck.
Yeah. And I mean, the way David's carried himself has been top shelf around here.
My
He's
God.
Been great to the fans, great to everybody. So that's. You know, he and I have had our thing, but that one doesn't hold. He's carried himself great, and everybody's rooting for him.
Oh, I'm going to do you the favor of cutting you off before you keep going. That's what I'm going to do. Oh, my God. Dan is in Salem, wants to defend Hardy. Dan.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Hardy, you were 100% correct. I think they made themselves look like a bunch of buffoons celebrating after 13 goals. However, that is not a sexist comment when you can criticize them. Here's my point. One, I think that the women should be, at this point, paid a little bit more than the men, because what have the men done in the World Cup? What have the men done?
They weren't in the World Cup a year ago.
Right.
They didn't make it.
No, so have the paychecks rescinded and give them to the women, because they should be paid more, because they're more successful in the World Cup and whatnot than the men could ever be. Number two, if women would like the same equal rights, it has to go both ways. If they want the equal pay, which I am for, all 100%, if not more for the women in soccer, they have to be able to take the criticism too, which they can. So these people coming out saying, well, you're being sexist for saying, oh, well, you can't criticize them because they're doing this, they're doing that. It goes both ways. You can't have a one-way street. Thanks, guys.
Right. And what, they can't handle a little bit of criticism? I think they can. I think they can handle it.
With the golf claps.
Well, maybe not. And by the way, now that I've had 2 minutes to think about it in terms of women working on this station, who's the one co-host that has been on this station who has been a female that I can think of off the top of my head? Do you know?
No.
Trenny. Who did shows with Trenny? This guy.
You.
Like the one guy that I know of who's actually co-hosted a show on a not even a regular basis because she went off to do other stuff.
Okay.
Stop it.
Dan's dates are coming up next.
Stop it.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Well, you can clearly see there's a gap where the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh, yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Damn it. I'm a Dapper Dan man.
And now it's time for Dapper Dan's Dates of Distinction.
For Dapper Dan.
Time now for Dan's dates. It is June 18th today. Dan, what do we got?
Well, we're kicking off a special shout out to Diane Louth, who's retiring today.
Oh!
Kent Hospital. And
that would be the mother of James Louth.
Yeah.
Jim Louth's mother, birthday day and retirement day?
Yes, all in one.
Wow. Born on this day and will retire today.
Nice going.
After 44 plus years.
That's
at the hospital. She is out. She's peacing out today. What a birthday gift.
She got a pension, Jimmy. Is there a pension involved
in
that,
something
jump?
Coming, yeah.
Nice.
Thank you, Diane. Okay, other people born on this great day, June 18th. Lou Brock is 80 years old today.
Oh.
How old do you guys think Paul McCartney is?
He's got to be 80 himself.
79.
Born in Liverpool 77 years ago today.
Wow,
still
not yet 80.
Still rocking in the free world.
Still doing well for himself.
Isabella Rossellini is 67 today. Boyz II Men blues singer Nathan Morris is 48
today.
Nobody
knows the individuals.
I don't know.
Boyz II Men. They're all just members
sometimes
of Boyz II Men.
Like Dr. Dre. I don't know whether they're supposed to be known or not. You know,
they never really did much on their own.
Blake Shelton is 43. Stuff that happened on June 18th. First of all, Susan B. Anthony was arrested for voting in the election of 1873.
Like that, trailblazer?
She paid $100 fine.
Not a sexist, definitely a feminist.
What if she paid in Susan B. Anthony dollars? The War of 1812 began as Congress approved President Madison signed a Declaration of War against
Britain. She was facing
real sexism. Yes,
Susan
thank
B. Anthony.
You, yeah.
Real sexism.
None of this like contrived stuff.
Yeah.
Today was Waterloo. Napoleon's Waterloo was 1815, met defeat as the British and Prussian troops defeated the French in Belgium. I would not have known that, like who he was even fighting and where it was, but that's Waterloo. On this date in 1940, a fine hour for British Prime Minister Winston Churchill urging his countrymen to conduct themselves in a manner that would prompt future generations to say this was their finest hour. That speech was today in 1940. This day in 1948, Columbia Records unveiled the first phonograph, the long-playing LP, the 33, as we came to know it.
Okay.
On this date in 1979, President Jimmy Carter and Leonard Brezhnev signed the SALT II Strategic Arms Agreement. On this date in 1983, astronaut Sally Ride became America's first woman in space. She and four colleagues blasted off aboard the Space Shuttle Challenger on a six-day mission. This day in 1940, Charles de Gaulle urged his countrymen to defy the German occupancy. Charles de Gaulle did that on the BBC. How old do you guys think Bruce Smith is? Today's his birthday. Zoe would know this.
No
idea. He's going to be, I'm going to say, 57.
Oh, you're close, Peter. That's pretty good. 56 today. 56 today. Some sports stuff happened on this day. Red Sox history. Well, first of all, 1977, Reggie Jackson is playing outfield against the Red Sox in Fenway Park. He dogs it on a ball hit to right field, turns a single into a double, something he didn't hustle. And Billy Martin took him out
in the middle of the inning. Middle of the inning, right? Yeah.
They had a bullpen change, and Reggie's like hanging out by the bullpen talking to his homes out there. And they said, Reggie, come on in. And then there was a near brawl in the dugout. Yogi Berra got in between them, and it was all kinds of good stuff. That was in 77. Backtracking to 76 on this date, Tom Yawkey purchased the contracts of Raleigh Fingers and Joe Rudy from the Oakland A's. Charlie Finley was having a fire sale, decided to break up the four-time American League champion, three-time World Series champion Oakland A's, started selling off his players. Vita Blue was sold to the Yankees. And at that moment, Charlie Finley said, the evening is young. He was still going to keep going, selling off all of his assets. Bowie Kuhn stepped in and put a stop to it. And Fingers and Rudy, who did wear Red Sox uniforms that night, did not play in the game in Oakland that night. The last one I got for today is 1975. Rookie Freddie Lynn knocked in 10 runs against the Detroit Tigers in Tiger Stadium on June 18th. And that is all I got. Anybody else?
Anything, Hardy?
Yeah, expanded. The last one there was, what was the one at the Tiger Stadium that you had there, Dan?
Freddie Lynn knocking in 10. 10 all RBIs, right. 1975.
And 1911, also involving the Detroit Tigers. In the sixth inning, White Sox lead the Tigers 13-1. After eight, the Pale Hoes are still ahead 15-7. Tigers, however, use five singles and two walks to narrow Chicago's lead to 15-13 in the eighth, and then complete their incredible comeback in the final frame when Ty Cobb strokes a two-run single, his fifth hit of the day, and then scores on Sam Crawford's double to win the contest 16-15. Cobb then celebrated by finding a minority family and yelling at them for four straight hours.
Already made that last part up.
That's well.
I love the Pale Hoes, though. I do like the Pale Hoes. The Red Sox are, as you know, the Carmine Hoes, which goes to Carmine.
Yes. Do you know the Checker Cab made its first taxi in a Kalamazoo factory on this date? What year? What year was the first Checker Cab produced?
1923. Okay.
Anything else, Beetle?
Fast and the Furious debuted on this day in 2001. They then made like 14 more of them following that one. but this was the first one came out on this day.
I only watched the first one.
That's the only one I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Not bad.
It's as long as no one's talking, it's a completely enjoyable movie.
Oh, come on. That's not...
Well, it's true. I mean, now, those movies aren't made for the dialogue.
What about when Ja Rule yells? That was great, right?
In the first one?
Wasn't he in that one?
I don't
know. I think it too.
I saw it once, but I didn't think it was a bad movie. It was just...
By the way, it took. I was just looking at a story about Raleigh Fingers to the Red Sox. It took 3 days for that to get reversed.
Yeah, they never played, and they dressed the first night.
Never played, but there was a photographer that captured photographs.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.